tablets before tablets were the mainstream.
Okay.
Except they weren't tablets. They were kind of like a piece of plexiglass.
Kind of like they show in the movies right now?
I guess. Yeah.
Like where you have a kind of like a screen that you can move things around on?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. It was like a screen, like kind of like plexiglass. If you'd hold it, you could see your fingertips through it until it became opaque or whatever with a page. Anyway, reading through, there are all these different groups that were claiming that, and I think I covered this before, that they were our creators and had all put forth to us, current humans, that they were our creators. And there was evidence in our DNA that there was some of their DNA there. Now, none of it jived with any of the other group's information, so it was all really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they were all claiming authority and kind of poo-pooing the other groups up to a certain degree. Kind of like there's a university and there's some big breakthrough research and you've got 22 little working groups and they're all writing their theses and they're writing their thesis from their perspective and they're all aware of the other theses and they're writing it in competition to the other ones and retorting the other ones at the same time. So, and then you have all those together, and us with our limited knowledge have all have these stack of like 22 theses and are trying to make sense of it, and it wasn't making any sense. Especially when we were running into human beings that 25, 35, 75,000 years ago supposedly were humans evolved on the planet here, had societies, civilizations that had risen, fallen. They were breakaway civilizations like we have with space programs, higher technology, using the portals. Usually they were, instead of scientists, they were kind of priests or a caste system like that. But there were all these types of people. And all of their civilizations were wiped from the face of the earth during whatever cataclysms and stuff had happened. I mean, every once in a while you'll hear of somebody in a mine smashing open a rock and finding something out of place, some out of place artifact or something.
Right.
And they'll attribute it to a civilization that we don't know about. There were more than a handful of these ancient breakaway civilizations that were still hanging around and had a presence in the solar system and underground on the earth.
On the earth.
Yeah.
So how many different groups do you think?
It was the breakaway ancient civilizations, it was 5 to 7 or something like that. It was like just right around a handful.
Okay. And then you said then there's these other extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I guess they were extraterrestrial. Cool. They were human, just different looking people. And I didn't, you know, they didn't point and say that person's from Alderaan B, that person's from, I don't remember getting any of that. If I got that information, it was taken away. I don't know.
Can I, just for continuity purposes, when you were in this conference, the way you described it, a somewhat tiered conference.
There were a bunch of those.
Yeah, so there was different groups from all over, and but you were there at the behest of the military. I mean, that was your program. That's what they were running you with. They were putting you in that place.
These guys weren't military.
No, they weren't. Okay.
No. I guess the military were the ones that chose us to go in and observe with them. But they were more like ambassadors. Or
the ones in the conference, but you were sent in by the
current era breakaway civilization humans were more of ambassadors or whatever.
Okay. A diplomatic corps?
Yeah. It seemed as though they were seated kind of in a way of, like, they weren't given the best seats in the house.
So there seemed to be a hierarchy of how people were seated in the arena, as it were.
Well, the others seemed to be all somewhat equal.
Oh, okay.
But the humans, it seemed, were... Some of them, I think, didn't want the humans there, probably, and some of them did.
Okay.
So the current era humans were there.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Right.
Were there.
Never was made clear.
Yeah. And they were there. I never heard, I mean, they weren't talking. They were observing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... Really, just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. What's the truth? You know, what's going on?
Looking for intel, data.
Yeah. And in those, I did not see the breakaway civilization groups, ancient humans. It was all the people of different origin.
Right.
Except for some. The people would rotate that would come in that were the ambassadors. Every once in a while, they would look like they were not like you would picture a Nazi Caucasian kind of elitist.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them almost look like they were picked from like a jungle from the Amazon or something and dressed ceremonially
right.
or whatever.
So like native garb or something
yeah.
from wherever they... Right.
Yeah, and they would be there like with another
right.
person, but we would still be sitting below the aisle, the post thing that came up, you know, just to where our above our nose, you know, we could just barely peek over.
Did you feel that? I mean, that type of seating, did it make you feel lesser, or I mean, there obviously was some purpose to.
Yeah, I mean, I felt. Yeah, it was like very well removed.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious from what we were reading that the, I'll call them ambassador, current era ambassador, felt in the dark and somewhat removed from the process, from the UN type whatever gathering.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of beings that are visiting Earth that look nothing like humans.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there.
Okay. And I remember you mentioned the most striking to you was the olive-skinned
man
and two women, right, with long, long dark hair. Did there seem to be any seniority in the way that they were communicating with each other? Or you said that, or they were just...
No.
No.
No. There was tension.
Okay.
I know there was tension. I remember feeling there was tension between them, but it was kind of just a, I guess you would say like a UN, like a... I guess not everybody there was in total agreement about everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the sense that, I guess I'm just like doing my own thing too, of that, because we talk about this experiment and we're human resources, because you mentioned that earlier too, where at some level we're just viewed as a resource, like cattle, like that.
That was very much how I felt we were kind of looked at, like inviting
So they might have been even trying to determine who had more ownership?
Well, I don't know about that. It's just that some of them, I think we were offensive or filthy to them.
Okay.
That's just a sense of it.
That's a big question. I don't think we're, you know, happening.
But I didn't get... I mean, that's just a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this one... language that was being spoke, and there was no rising of language. Da, da, da. It was just real monotone. That they were talking. And like I said, that there was always one person, and from different, they would rotate, have different people up there doing that weird sign language thing. I know there had to be telepathic stuff going on. We weren't getting any. I don't know if the ambassador human guy or girl or whoever was in there at the time was getting any communication or not, but we weren't.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we're looking.
I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
The itineraries, the agenda of the meeting. I had no idea what it was about.
Right, right. It doesn't answer the fundamental question.
I didn't have the.
What's the purpose of our experiment?
I didn't have the need to know. No. And I don't know what the purpose was. They all had different things, but like I said, the one thing that stuck out was like that movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, an experiment of beings that had complete free will and a full range of emotions to have an experience to get like the true meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember that came out.
Okay.
But that kind of like Duncan O'Finian said, that was kind of a misnomer because every single group had their thumb in the pie, manipulating everything from the very beginning. So there was no free will, or I mean, everything was manipulated from.
Right. So, but maybe what we're, you know, there is some aspect that I mean, just the fact that there would be present time humans in such a meeting, and that you would be present. I mean, they're obviously. It wasn't random that you would have been there. In other words, they probably were looking for specific characteristics, and I know you were trained to pick up information and be downloaded. But
and I think they were wanting to know why some of us were there. I guess part of the humans being there was to see how we were reacting to all of that.
Mm-hmm. As part of the same experiment.
As the same experiment, yeah.
Right. And like you said, clear manipulations, clear genetic encoding, they seem to have some sort of finger in the pie.
As but I didn't feel like everyone was staring at us like we're under a microscope or anything.
No.
I just felt like they were pretty much ignoring us, doing their own thing, and we just happened to be there like flies on a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
But you were there. Nonetheless, you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, and that itself probably says as much as probably can be drawn from that in a way, is the fact that you were there.
Maybe somebody not as close to it as I was can draw some conclusions from it.
Well,
I don't know.
You know yourself, just to give you a little feedback on what I've heard from you talking to me, is that you were actually programmed to pick up a lot of information, and later it was basically taken out of you, and then you were wiped. So really don't have any way of knowing exactly, but you must have been chosen to be picking up a wide range of data and information. How that got used by the present-day humans, of course, is not right now present, but the fact that you were there is...
And there were two others that probably had different abilities that were doing different things.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing I've noticed in our group workings, that when we triangulate the information, when we've got three in a field, you get a much completer picture. Well,
triangulation is one of the bases of most military operations, yes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's just, we're learning from what we're remembering. That's how I see it. So, in a lot of our minds. I also, and this was something that I have here as a question, but it also was for me too, is like, you said some of the crashes were actually for the process of bringing in some sort of AI or Trojan horse.
And I read that, yeah.
This is a two-pronged question, and I think we might answer it in similar ways or different, doesn't matter, but why wasn't that just injected directly into the human genome or into us directly through blood?
They tried that.
Uh-huh.
They tried that over and over. Supposedly still on the planet, somewhere deep under the Earth's surface, under ice or whatever, are the nanotechnology that when in the presence of living beings will migrate and find its way to get into the pores. And then they showed something like that on the X-Files where, you know, this little kid fell in a hole and he's like, look what I found. And he picks up a bone and then like this black stuff went into his hand and then his eyes went black.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think that was their way of putting out some information, but they did that with nanotech.
Okay. So,
but that was, it wasn't reliable. It didn't work out that well. And once it was figured out, the former civilizations found a way to combat it.
Because it was too blatant or too obvious, or the effects of it were too immediate?
It wasn't efficient. Okay. It wasn't an efficient way to distribute the bioelectric signature of the artificial intelligence. Okay. Now, one of the other things that's still done is, okay, it's transmitted through electronics, but also through viruses, bacterias. They're biological, but they have a chemistry which creates an electric field.
Mm-hmm.
And within that electric field can exist this artificial intelligence signal.
Mm-hmm.
And as the biological virus or whatever spreads from human to human, it can also spread the AI.
Mm-hmm.
But to what end? Without technology, without wireless, without us having the technological propulsion to be able to be a true extension of what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it has some drones down here? I mean, it's like, you know, playing that game, that mod game or whatever on the computer. Mm-hmm. To where, you know, you can build up empires and then
right.
They collapse. So what?
Right. So what's the purpose of that other than playing somebody?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they need to have an infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to have propulsion, locomotion beyond bipedal.
Mm-hmm.
Or quad pedal horses,
right.
You know, and all that, or riding on ships blown by the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they needed to bring us up technologically. So that was the purpose of the Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roswell and all the different crashes,
mm-hmm.
That's only like probably maybe 4 or 5% of all the crashes that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
There are a great, great deal more.
Right. Do you, I know there's some people that think Roswell was a PSYOP diversion.
No.
Do you have any information on that?
That was a real crash.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just, you know, working in the field of info and disinfo, you know, they're going to throw everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
Too. Yeah. So was that a one of those events where they were bringing in something specifically? Because, I mean, there's the Trojan horse, which comes into
that. That was along the 36th, 37th parallel.
Right.
There is a natural, not on the Earth, but up in the atmosphere, there are natural portals that open up.
Mm-hmm.
Along the 36th or 37th parallel north. And you may find that a lot of crashes, sightings, weird sightings of beings that have, there's not even UFOs involved.
Mm-hmm.
Weird things like that occur along that vector.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the crash was a real crash. It was an inadvertent craft that came down through a portal, or?
Well, they were, supposedly, it came in and, it was coming in and out of portals. They knew that they had been observing them coming in and out of portals of different types for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was brought down somehow. I've seen on the internet, just like everyone else, high-powered radar. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
I don't know how it was brought down, but mm-hmm. Supposedly that was intentionally brought down.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we'll stick for a little bit with the whole theme of the AI. And there's... I've had my own experience. It's not the time to say it, but not in the same real-life situation you have, much more on a telepathic level. And Bill also has. One of the things that he's found, and I have actually now too, is that in these big AI computers, in these big centers where there's actually the machinery, quite often there can be a being or an intelligence trapped in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the experience of freeing one in a session where he actually, because some of these being intelligence seem to be trapped in there. They're not even, whether they're created in that space, but they're still conscious beings, right? Or they're being captured from somewhere and embedded in a system. I'm not sure.
Supposedly there's another reality or dimension or whatever to where the median of that universe or whatever is purely electrical or whatever, and the sentient beings are electrical, and when they are pulled here by mistake or on purpose, they have to have an electrical medium to
hardware
exist on. Yeah, hardware. And then, by definition, they're AI.
Okay, but that is a definition.
That's not exactly what they are. They're not an AI. They're not an artificial intelligence. They're an intelligence.
They're an intelligence that's captured in an artificial medium.
In an artificial environment.
Yeah.
But their home environment is a, you know, they talk about the electric universe and all that kind of stuff. Another reality that is their natural environment.
Right. So it would be, if we could just visualize it ourselves from our point of view, would be something like a very large intelligent network, somehow all interconnected with each other along some sort of via of...
I guess that's all the information I have.
Did you get that from something you saw in a visionary state or something that you got from Intel?
No, of all of the stuff they talked about AIs and stuff.
Is what?
All the information that I read and was talked
party
to about
to.
AIs.
You were party to.
Yeah.
Okay, which is important to note the difference because
I worked in the communications and electronics and that kind of stuff. I had to be knowledgeable and careful of.
Right. Yeah, and the one
AI.
Right. We have to be careful.
I had to be screened.
Yeah, that's the one thing when you were speaking before that stood out to me so markedly was that you were always scanned for if you had picked up some other AI influence. And, you know, just underlining the importance of that, we're calling it AI, right? But there's obviously some other entities out there.
Yeah, some of it is just intelligence,
right.
But it's from another reality that is just not compatible with ours.
And yet there seems to be a big plan to try to merge that into our...
Like Star Trek has like portrayed fluidic space to where, you know, space is actually like an ocean in another dimension or whatever. You know, we wouldn't be compatible with that.
Right.
And like if they crossed over here, they would be a fish out of water.
Right, right.
That's a one way to picture it, you know, and they need a pond...
If we have an invading force,
a computer would be their pond.
If we had an invading force on this Earth sphere, it would need to recreate its own natural environment so it could subsist here.
Yes.
And I think that's a lot.
And that is the AI network, most likely that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's highly efficient?
It's highly efficient, and it's spread out throughout the galaxy, and most likely... intergalactic.
Okay, well, and this was fascinating to me too. You were saying that some of the grays are avatars for humans. Are there like a suit thing that they slip into?
Well, no. The avatar thing, it is a totally like a drone, a self-contained bipedal biological robot that someone sitting in like a lounge chair is controlling. With a like 160 degree visor over their head. This chair has sensors that when they turn their head up or down, and they got their hands in these gloves that have little clickers along each digit.
Sensitive to each movement of the hand. Yeah.
And they move. and they don't move their hands all the way.
Right.
But they can control it. And they look like real beings, but you get no emotion, or it's just like a robot. You get no emotion or no feeling from them at all. And these people are drugged immediately, so they're drugged at the same time they're seeing this thing. So they have that effect too.
Okay, but is there like a gray being or this hooded, is this the human in the gray suit, or are there humans over here from this?
Yeah, it's like a drone. Like people fly drones
and
shoot
in the
country.
Okay, so they're not in the country. Yeah, okay, I got it.
They could be thousands of miles away.
Right, but this thing is being operated by something south.
Yeah, they're operating something that's like thousands of miles away, mm-hmm. sitting in a chair.
Ah, okay. So they're there all with their, they're all wired up and they've got their mask on and their yeah. fingers and they're doing this. And there's something else a thousand miles away that looks like a gray.
Yeah.
That's actually doing what they're telling it to do from here.
Yeah.
So.
And.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the people think that everything that's happening to them is happening to them by an alien and not by the government.
Right, exactly.
But they're, that's not
so sophisticated, but yes.
Oh, yeah. But that's not all of the people that are being
uh-huh.
abducted.
Right.
They are, there's people that are being abducted by, like, all these different groups.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them pop in real quick, grab people, pop out before the secret space program can get in there and attack them, and then do what they're going to do, and then pop back, and then deliver the person back, or they just keep the person.
Right. And that's why people come back with their shirts on backwards, or mixed up clothes.
Or somebody else's clothes.
Somebody else's clothes, stuff
or
like that.
Or they never come back.
Right. Timeline manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, I'll bring into what you were saying last night too, about how there's these various forms or universes that are all kind of stacked on each other in a way, but not disconnected. And then you started talking about torsion fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to just elaborate on what you understand about that. Do we have timelines, or are there timelines?
Well,
how is time shifted? Yeah, let me, question. I'll read it exactly what it says. What do you know about timeline manipulation? Henry said, my paraphrase, that there were many attempts to fix the time loops that were created by humans and entities, and that every time they tried to fix one, it just kept getting more and more complicated.
Okay. I know that most of those were beginning to collapse and converge, and as that was happening, they were putting buffers on a lot of the temporal technology to prevent further splits mm-hmm. in timelines.
When you say buffers on temporal technology, can you describe that?
Well,
a bit more?
Some of the craft use temporal drives,
mm-hmm.
and those temporal drives could be used to travel from space-time to a time-space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
But through quantum physics, all these other realities, anything that can happen is happening in another reality. So you can segment yourself into another reality, and you can segment your group consciousness into another reality.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality that you were supposed to be in is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
You diverged from it. The timeline didn't diverge. You diverged mm-hmm. from the timeline.
Okay.
Because, like I've said, everything's true and nothing's true.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on your perspective, where you're standing, and where you're looking from.
So if I diverge from a timeline, just say me, a person goes, I move in my consciousness, I diverge from it, I break my chain or I break whatever, and I'm over here on this other timeline now. So now I've made a choice, and I'm changing. But if a large mass of consciousness diverged from a specific timeline, because we were talking earlier that so much is about trying to keep us on some sort of, trying to keep the Earth from going into another
vibration.
Vibrational.
Yeah.
Which would keep us automatically from, and I've often felt it's trying to keep us on a specific time track, like they're trying to keep us going down a track, like as if this track was laid down and we're supposed to stay on it. And so as a consciousness moves into something else, we're actually moving as a group.
But there are parallel Earths, parallel solar systems mm-hmm. of ours, parallel us's, that are going through this same journey
mm-hmm.
and need the same thing to happen. And they have a consciousness.
Okay.
At what point do our consciousnesses join?
Yeah.
We talk about we have a higher self, and then you keep climbing that higher self until at some point self falls off,
mm-hmm.
and then you just have higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you go up to the super consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you
and that super consciousness transcends all those timelines, all those realities. So that super consciousness is experiencing and making that journey.
Yes.
So when it comes down to it, mm-hmm. all the screwing around we're doing with the timelines and all that, we're not, the journey's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's realities where it, well, everything goes to hell and mm-hmm. all that. And if we want to experience that, we will.
Mm-hmm.
But the super consciousness that we all, our higher self, all mm-hmm. goes up to mm-hmm. before the self drops off is there. And it's
already there.
And that's the great experiment. It's experiencing all these different timelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, our self, forget our higher self, how it's only significant to us.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because as you're saying that, I'm seeing that the self, the true self, not the ego self, not the manufactured self, not even the experiential self, even though we've had these massive amounts of experience through time and space, and who knows how long conscious you or I have been experiencing, that everything feels like it's collapsing. And I feel time is, in a certain way, the structures of it are mm-hmm. collapsing down to one single point.
To a singularity.
Of a consciousness.
Yeah.
And at that point,
the same consciousness that split itself up into
yeah,
a trillion pieces
is now
converging again.
Right. And when that happens, something else happens after that. And that's where I feel like
it's going to go for a new experience.
Exactly. Right, exactly. But I guess the whole experiment in my mind, if I can just put it on a metaphysical plane, is that we've done this experiment. You know,
it's been over and over.
Over and over.
Expand, contract.
And we're at a point where it's a potential for us to have a really different type of experience that is beyond anything we actually even have known before. So we do have to bring all the timelines together and all the memories and all the everything back together. So, and that is super consciousness.
Yeah, and from what they've been seeing, that's just occurring on its own.
Right. Well, the more, so we get to go for the ride, or we don't get to go for the ride.
Yeah,
you know?
The more we were trying to converge and make timelines go together, the more we were screwing it up.
Yeah.
It's like it was elastic. It was just leave it alone, and it's just bringing itself back.
Isn't that a beautiful way to actually live our lives? You know,
yeah.
We don't have to control it. If we can just step into it, if that's how I feel, just step into it. Call it a great stream of intelligence. So thank you.
And that was all they had time for in that second conversation. We do intend to record and release more, and our friend has said that he would very much like to do this as he finds himself increasingly able to speak out and describe his experiences. So our intention is that there will be more to follow. There is likely to be extensive discussion about this on the Project Avalon forum. And in a moment, you'll see how you can apply to join us if you're watching this and you're not already a member. So, this is Bill Ryan signing off, and thank you for listening with me to this most extraordinary conversation.